The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. I'm back. I took a little hiatus last week. I was in Argentina, believe it or not, doing a little hunting adventure. And Doug Hughes was in the house. And Doug, you were in England.
I was in London, yes. Got a chance to go to Wimbledon, to the tennis tournament, and enjoyed a wonderful day there. Then I took a cruise to the Norwegian fjords, which I would say to everyone out there is one of maybe the, if not the most scenic cruise I've ever done. Absolutely fantastic.
I went to Buenos Aires first for a couple of days, messed around, went to the cemetery you told me about. Yeah. That was pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
And then took a flight to another place. I always forget. I forget where I went. And then a 2-hour drive to the ranch, so to speak, and it was incredible. Beautiful, wow. Beautiful setting. It's wintertime there. It was around like December, but thankfully the weather was unseasonably warm. It was a nice brisk 42 in the morning and mm-hmm. would get up to high 50s in the afternoon, just a little bit of rain. So I was there for 5 days, and then made my way back. And what's cool about Argentina is it's only a 1-hour time change.
Right, right.
So it's not like you're going to London or you're going to Hawaii or somewhere where you just absolutely get ripped when you get there or when you come back.
Yeah.
It's like a 1-hour time change. So if it's like 2:00 here, it's 3:00 there. I don't even know what that time zone would be considered. But nonetheless, we're back in the house and we have a fun show lined up for you. This first segment, of course, is brought to you by my friend Lance at the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with estate planning. Give him a call. If you're a veteran and you also have a concern or a wife, a spouse of a veteran that served during conflict time, not just wartime, and you have a need for long-term care assistance, give him a call because there is an aid and assist benefit available through the VA, and he does a really great job helping people get qualified for that. Also, Kenny Blaine Auctions, they're your full-service auction service. They offer the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate or just your junk in your garage. He's done that for me before, came and picked around and said, yeah, I can sell this, I can sell that. And, of course, he sold it. And then we meet for dinner, and he brings me an envelope with money in it, and it's always a good day. All right, and lastly but not least, Unrivaled Electric. They want to be your full-service electrical contractor. They're going to put a generator in at the porthole, which is exciting because the paper clips that hold the RMC lines together down near Unionville are not always clipped together. And being out 3 to 4 days was not fun down in that region. And in my house, we have a house down in the lake as well. We were out, but we had, guess what, a generator. And Tim and the gang went out to service that this week. And I got the bill, Tim, just so you know. I know you're a loyal listener, and I promise I will get it paid on time. But they want to be your electrician like they are mine. Give them a call, 812-361-3604. Husey, I heard you won the lottery.
Well, I did, yeah.
The lottery of life.
Lottery of life.
You didn't
life.
Win the
yeah,
billion or so.
I didn't win the California lottery, or the lottery that just was won. I did not win that one.
You know, what's interesting, I guess they're taking the lump sum. Most of them do. But if you think about living in California, I probably would establish new residency quickly.
Yes.
Like in Florida, Texas, you know, somewhere where there's no state tax. Because the top tax in California is 14%. So by the time you pay your 37 Fed and you pay your 14% to the to the state in on top of the discount that you took, about a 30 or so percent discount off the lump sum. I mean, sure, you're still walking away with incredible life-changing money for you, your community, everyone. But you know what? I think that most people need to step back. And I think these people actually took a little time. They consulted some folks before they actually came out and said, yep, we were the winners. But a lot of times people who win the lottery, just like a pension, right? You either have a lump sum option sometimes, or you can take the monthly money. You can screw up a lump sum. You can screw up a check. But the good thing about a check is you're going to get another check. So for most people that are lottery winners, they've never had this kind of money before, because most people that play the lottery usually don't have a lot of money. It's just like, just the way it is. It's just, I'm not telling you anything that's not true. So when they get this Mega Millions jackpot, they're like, yeah, I got this money. And then they start buying houses and whatever, and they do this and do that, and they mess up and they lose it all. Most of them go broke. Most lottery winners do elect the lump sum option, and their reasons for making these choices are usually pretty bad. Here's what they think. They think that if the installment payments stop if the winner dies, that's not true. It continues on for 20 years. That's not true. They fear that the state or the lottery commission could go bankrupt before they fully repaid out. That's highly unlikely, since the installment obligation is backed by a laddered bond portfolio. Are you telling me the lottery is using buckets? I think they are. It's how they do it. It's how pensions do it. When I explain, you know, how a bucket plan works, or how money that you need to set up for now and later works, is you invest the money you need in 10 years different than you invest the money you're going to need next year. And taking that lump sum option is usually a poor decision because, like I said, you can mess up a lump sum pretty easily. You can pay a lot of tax pretty easily. Some also worry that tax rates will change in the future. Good observation. But, you know, through proper planning, you can do some charitable stuff. You can assign winnings to corporations to somewhat shelter it from massive taxes. Maybe, you know, there's so many things you can do. So all I'm saying is that if you win the lottery, just email us. We'll help you figure out the details. But here is the thing about the monthly check or the yearly check, right? You're going to screw that first one up. I can guarantee it if you've never handled that kind of money. You might even screw the second one up and maybe even the third one, but you'd have 17 more checks to come. If you're screwing the 15th and 16th check up, you're just stupid, and you don't deserve the money anyway. Yeah. That would be my humble opinion. So anyway, with that said, I have one more thing to mention. Eric Cook and I, senator from the great state of Indiana, we are having a Zoom call on Monday at 1 o'clock to talk about how the state has messed up this tax thing, right, where you recognize gain on something. I remember I mentioned this, I think, last week or the week before that I'd be working on this. You get gains, let's say, in October, and you say, okay, I'll pay my state tax, I pay my federal tax, which is the way it's supposed to be. Pay the tax in the quarter when you recognize it. But the state has been saying, no, no, no. You should have known you had that gain and how much it was going to be, and you should have been paying estimated payments equally throughout the year. So people getting phantom gains on mutual funds, selling a piece of real estate, whatever it might be, are getting penalized. You're getting the notices. We've had tons of clients get these notices. And I'm like, I don't know. So we appeal it. And a couple people, I guess it landed on a nice guy's desk or a nice gal's desk. And they said, yep, we'll give you the waiver one time. But then we've had others declined. It's been so insane. We've even had Roth convert. That's mainly on Roth conversions. You do a Roth conversion, you know, let's say whatever month it is, and you pay the tax at the time you do the conversion. That's the way it should be done. But then you're getting penalized by the state. So most people at the legislative level have no idea that whatever happened, there's a bad unintended consequence there. So I am having a conversation with Eric Cook on Monday. We're going to lay it out to him. He's not on a committee that actually has any influence there, but he knows people. And we're going to get this thing fixed. So as soon as I have more to say or more to offer up to you, I will let you know. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I could not believe it in my email box when Mick Higley, the old by-the-numbers guy, sent me an email. And I'm like, he's back. Well, he's not back, but he was teasing me, and he gave me a teaser, and I've got to share it with you when I come back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. I was so excited, just so excited, when I saw Mick Higley at buythenumbers.com send me an email, and it said, subject, BTN Bulletin from Mick Higley. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's back. I opened it up, and it says, Dave, I may have retired last summer, but I still track daily a few financial numbers that interest me. He's a geek, I understand. The national debt is one of those numbers. And as of last Thursday, the 6th of July, it hit a level that had me shaking my head. He said, you have my permission, which he always gave it to me, to use this on your radio show, email it out, post it on your website, social media, whatever you want to do, you have my permission. So the title of this, in old school Mick Higley fashion, was Can't Spend It Fast Enough. This is going to blow your mind. On the day President Joe Biden signed the legislation that ended the debt ceiling debate, that was on Saturday, June 3rd, the U.S. national debt was $31.467 trillion. On Thursday, July 6th, that's just 33 days later, the U.S. national debt reached $32.474 trillion. The national debt increased $1 trillion in 33 days. From our nation's inception, from July 4th, 1776, it took 205 years before we even had $1 trillion of debt, and then here we go in 33 days and add a extra trillion. That's crazy. And you can go to treasury.gov and see that I'm not lying to you. I mean, it's there. I'm just sitting here just saying that. I understand that there was some pent-up supply of U.S. debt ready to be issued after the previous debt limit, so that's part of it, was reached back in January of 19. But an increase in our national debt of another $1 trillion in just 1 month is staggering. Mick Higley, retired by the numbers publisher.
It gets you shaking. Always bringing us relevant information.
Oh, man.
And always,
I miss him.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Let's talk about it, David. You know, what does $1 trillion look like? Most people don't even know what it looks like. What does it look like?
Well, I always use this, and there's a lot of analogies, right, that I can use, but I love using Tom Hegna's analogy. I use it in my book. I use it on the radio. I use it in public speaking. But most people have no idea. Most people don't even really get what $1 million is. We talked about $1 billion earlier. There's no concept to what $1 billion is. No one has any concept of that. Some do $1 million, you know, some do, yeah, you know, but $1 trillion? Well, here's what Tom says, and you've heard me say this before, and what's interesting, when I told Trey Hollingsworth this when he was still in Congress, he then turned around at the very next stop and used the exact same wording that I used here. So what is $1 trillion? Well, if $1, remember, if $1 equaled 1 second, so we're going to put dollars into seconds or days, $1 million... So if $1 equals 1 second, $1 million equals 11 and a half days. $1 billion equals, $1 billion equals 32 years. $1 trillion, that's 32,000 years.
Wow.
And we are now 32,000 times 32 in debt.
Wow.
And people are like, David, when's it going to come to roost? And my answer is, I have no idea. The answer is when people quit lending us the money. I mean, as an individual, right, you're fighting this terrible fight. The government's fighting a terrible fight. Defense spending, as an example. We need to get some stuff under control. Because we live so close to Crane, nearby, you have people in position to do budgets, and they gripe about how much money we're spending just so they can get the same or more next year. You didn't spend what you spent last year, Doug, so why do you need the same or more for this year? That's actually happens down at Crane. It happens all over the country from government spending. We're fighting a terrible fight as individuals with higher interest rates. We all know that. But we can choose not to borrow on a new car, a new boat, a new house. But money on your credit card that you already spent, right? We always talk about that. Are you paying for a steak you ate 3 years ago? Or do you pay off the steak every month? You have to pay high interest on those monies that you've already spent. In fact, if you have a credit card, and the interest rate used to be 14%, 15%. It's probably like 29% now. So the higher interest rates put a squeeze on the rest of your monthly needs or wants. But the U.S. government has already spent this money too. And because it doesn't have enough revenue coming in to pay for our past plus our current and future needs, what are we doing? We're borrowing more and at higher rates. And thankfully, the lender, which isn't Chase, which isn't Bank of America, which isn't, you know, all these other places that give credit cards, Capital One, it's investors, it's insurance companies, it's pension funds, it's foreign countries, and they just keep raising our limit at some point. And the sooner we do this, the less painful it will be, is to double the, we have to double revenue. Mm-hmm. The math is just the math. And it's going to make people really mad to the point where they won't put up with it, and they're not going to let our government have no accountability, and they're going to force a balanced budget. That's what I would do. Now, I'm not running for office. I'm not the guy that's going to take take the fall. But it's going to have to be done. So I keep coming back to you guys and saying, okay, listen, if the Congressional Budget Office every single year, this isn't like one time 5 years ago, it's every year, and no one even talks about it, and they say, here's our suggestions for where tax rates need to go for simply to pay for the things that we've already promised and already spent and the things we're going to pay for in the future, and it's always double where it is today. And sometimes it's even more. So if you're sitting on a big IRA, a big tax-deferred 401k, where you are deferring, thinking that you're going to be in a lower tax bracket in the future, you're just simply delusional. So the answer is, or the question is, what is your 2.5-year plan? The 2.5-year plan means at the end of 2025, tax rates will go up for good. We know that. But again, as David McKnight has said on this show and other places, that doesn't keep us awake at night. Going from 37 to 39.6, not a big deal. What keeps us worried is that at some point, these investors, these insurance companies, these pension funds in foreign countries are going to say, you know what? We're not going to take on anymore. But they're at this point, they have to, because if they don't raise our limit and keep buying, then the stuff they already own is not worth as much. So it is a interesting landscape. And as long as we all just play along and continue to raise the credit card limits so I can spend more and not worry about making more, it's kind of like that Charlie Sheen. What was that show called that Charlie Sheen was in? Two Men and a Something. Come on, you can help me out with this one. Two Men. It was a Charlie Sheen. Two and a Half Men. Thank you very much. From Alex in the gallery.
Okay.
Two and a Half Men. So he runs out of money. Charlie Sheen does. He goes completely broke. He writes little theme songs and jingles and stuff like that. Makes a lot of money. But he goes to his accountant one day, and the accountant says, Charlie, you're broke. And he said, what do you mean I'm broke? He goes, how did this happen? He said, well, this is the way it works. He picked up a Dixie cup and poked a little hole in the bottom, and he started pouring water in it. And the water just slowly dripped out, but the water stayed in the cup. And he said, this is the way most people work. They put in a little more than what they take out. He said, but this is the way you live, Charlie. And he takes the cup, turns it over, and goes, bang, 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 and punches about 15 holes in the bottom. And he pours the water as fast as he can in, and none of it holds. It just pours out the bottom.
And
he says, but how can that happen? He goes, I don't know how I can explain it any better than that.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the way we're operating this country.
Yeah.
You couldn't operate your household like that. You can't operate your county like that, your city like that, your state like that. Everyone else has to balance their budget some way, shape, or form. So when people look to me and say, how's this all going to turn out? I don't know, but I'm not thinking it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and David, the great empires of the world, whether it's the British Empire, the Roman Empire, all eventually had to succumb to high inflation, high taxes, and overwhelming amounts of debt.
Yeah, just inflate your way out of it. That used to be an answer. And you're like, you can't do that because a lot of these social programs, Social Security, Medicare, all that stuff's tied to inflation. So when you have 2, 3, 4, it's just solid. When you have 8% inflation, everyone gets an 8% raise. Well, what good does that do us, right? So we have a lot of things on our plate right now, and I'm just telling you guys that you can do one thing about it. My dad said it best. If you worry about it, if you worry about things, remember that 90% of the time, it doesn't even happen.
Right.
5% of the time, it does, and only about 5% of the stuff that you can even have any control over. So when you guys look at this, I'm saying 90% of the time, it doesn't happen. I'm thinking that that's probably way too high in this scenario. 5% of the things you can't do anything about, 5% you can. In this case, I'm thinking like maybe 50% of the stuff you can control, and that is to get the heck out of the way of higher taxes and pay the tax bill off now. I've done this for other people, but it's so powerful. I'm 53. I do a Roth conversion, and let's call it on $250,000. And I go ahead and pay my, you know, whatever it is. I'll do the quick math on this. And I'm just going to say I pay $100,000 in tax. It doesn't matter. $100,000 in tax, $250,000 over to the Roth. If money doubles at 7.2%, not guaranteed, of course, every 10 years, then by the time I'm 63, that will be $500,000. And I die of a heart attack. Misty takes it over. Her life expectancy is 100 years, let's say, maybe 93 to make the math even easier. So she takes it over as a Roth. So if it doubles again at 60, so 63, 73 is now $1 million, 83 is $2 million, 93 is 3 It's $4 million. Sorry, thanks for catching that one. Then she dies. And then it goes to Sir William. And Will, because it's a Roth, has no required minimum distribution options. He can keep it in there untouched for 10 years, and that $4 million can grow to $8 million, tax-free. And then Will will come over to Valhalla and come over to our graveside and reach down and rub my headstone and say, thank you, Daddy, for paying that tax when you were 53 years old. And then, but it only cost me 100 G's. To have $8 million tax-free?
Absolutely.
I mean, golly, guys, if that doesn't get you going, nothing will. All right, dude, let's take a break. When we come back, let's see. I'm going to put my specs on here. I got a couple. Well, we're going to talk about a couple things. I've got one, inflation is rolling over, but does that really – what kind of impact does inflation truly have on retirees' long-term spending? And this is just 30 years, almost 30 years in the making for me, witnessing people retire very successfully, some not so successfully, and some that worry themselves to death when it comes to not having enough money down the road to pay for things because of inflation. So we're going to have a discussion about that. When we come back, it's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. David Hayes and Doug Hughes in the studio. Doug, I've sucked all the air out of the room. I apologize,
no
but
problem.
This will give you a great opportunity to jump in and talk about this. You know, I got a piece from a big company that does a lot of retirement stuff, and it said, inflation's dramatic return and its terrible impact on retirees. Key perspectives to navigate the current high price environment. Current high price environment, that's, I guess, the key word. But it talks about how we've, you know, had the highest inflation we have in 40 years and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they were going through just how much impact it had on gasoline, services, goods, foods, things like that. And how I can tell you how people get, and it even says it in here, that they worry about things probably more than they should. Again, going back to the worry thing, that most things that you worry about never happen and a few things you can control. And it goes in great detail. So it ended up being a pretty good article once I got through it all. But here's what our experience, Doug and I's experience, have been. The return of inflation for a short time, or are we preparing for a long time? You know, they talked about transitory. And, you know, I've said that from the very beginning, that what does that even mean? When they go back and say, well, it was only bad for 2 years or 3 years, so that's transitory. Well, technically, if you live 80 years, yeah, I guess that probably is. But they were acting like it was going to be just for the next quarter or two quarters. I'm like, no, you can't pump $34 trillion into the economy and expect for inflation not to be there. So anyway, whatever you think, I don't even care because it doesn't really matter. The point of this is how spending adjustments over time can absorb a lot of that. As an example, approximately 30% of your spending is on food and shelter and transportation, kind of the basics, right? So you can adjust your spending choices on the other stuff. You can do this instead of that, or I won't do that at all. But the key for us as retirement planning guys is that we talk about age matters. Spending early, doing things while you can. People say that all the time, but they're so afraid to, because if they spend it now, they may not have it later. And that worries the crap out of them, especially when they think, oh my gosh, you mean in 28 years at 4% inflation, I need double the money that I have today to buy the same goods and services? But Doug, we have not necessarily coined it, but we stole it probably, and then we thought we coined it. But we coined the fact that when people first retire, they spend money. A lot of them spend money like they're on vacation, mm-hmm. and like, you know, drunken sailors. But eventually, age catches up with you. And you don't feel like going to Florida every year anymore. You don't feel like doing this any longer. You don't really care to go out to the fancy restaurants. You're fine with the McDonald's discounts and the 50-cent coffee or whatever, the senior discount
which
is.
I've been doing since I was in my 20s or 30s, by the way. So.
You were frugal before frugal was
remember
cool.
Remember when we used to be able to get the Burger King for like 68 or 80
cents?
Oh,
yeah. If anyone could figure that out, Hughes was like, hey, if you go to Burger King and order just the eggs and a sausage separate, just eggs, he said it was like 89 cents. So for a while, we were doing that. Or when, I mean, I got on a kick for a while. Now I have the McDonald's app. So I do the daily deals. And I try not to eat bad, but two egg McMuffins, man, they're a killer in the morning. Yeah. I just take the muffin part off and eat the egg and Canadian bacon. I'm sure it's full of butter and other things, but nonetheless, it's delicious. And I'll go to the daily deals and say, buy one breakfast sandwich, get one free. That makes my decision in the morning what I'm going to do. Yeah. And I know that seems idiotic, but I remember also at Bloomington South during the wrestling season when Will was wrestling, there was a coupon on the back of the tickets. In most of the sporting events they do, like, you know, buy one Big Mac, get one free. But this was buy one breakfast sandwich, get one free. So I was obsessed with that, buy one, get one free. So after one wrestling match, everyone was kind of clearing out, and the parents would hang around waiting for the kids to come out. And I'm up in the stands collecting discarded tickets. Mm-hmm. And one of the parents said to Misty, "Oh, that is so nice of David to clean up those bleachers." And she looked at her, Jolene Dixon, who's been on the show. Yeah. She goes, "He's not picking up trash. He's collecting these tickets so he can get buy one, get one free McMuffins." I had about 80 of them.
Nice.
And I mean, I tore through those things. But the fact is, as retirees, you do have the go-go years. You have those slow-go years, and then we've all seen it with our parents or grandparents, mm-hmm. the no-go years, and your spending kind of tracks that way. So when someone puts in front of you a plan that says, hey, we anticipate you spending, you know, $80,000 a year in retirement day one, and when you're 90, we think you're going to be spending $180,000 a year because it's inflation-adjusted, that's not the way it goes. Mm-hmm. I met with someone just today who's been a client since 2013, and here we are 10 years later. He's been taking the exact same amount of money out of his retirement accounts since we started. Even though we anticipated taking more, he's taken a few one-offs here and there for a deck or a roof or something. Sure. But for the most part, he hasn't taken anything out. And he's like 70 now, and he retired, you know, in his early or late 50s. He was 59 when he retired. So here we are today, and I'm looking at clients that I've had for 25 years, and they were 65 whenever they came on board. Mm-hmm. Well, look where they are today, and they aren't going to California. They aren't going to Florida. They sold this. They sold that. It's just the way life goes. So I want to take a little worry out of your life if you're a retiree and thinking that, hey, I have to maintain this nest egg because, you know, I've already went through the just-in-case retirement.
Sure. And, you know, when you think of the word retiree, and these are big, big, what would I say? They're big umbrellas or big tents that people are under. Obviously, the people who are hit the hardest with inflation increases are people who are stuck on fixed incomes. And so a word to those folks, there's a way to plan out of that. But if you have in a portfolio and you're able to design, because, for example, what you just gave as a highlight is while your client has never taken any more money out of his accounts, his Social Security has increased along the way.
Sure.
And so there will be raises of income through Social Security, and that helps kind of combat some of the inflation adjustments as well. And one of the things, David, that we see that's absolutely true is that people the first couple years in retirement, like you said, they spend a lot. They also really, I mean, there's some, but fewer more than the majority know exactly what they need. You know, they kind of overestimate, and a year or two later, like, I don't need to take out this much. Can I lower what I'm taking out? And that begins to make some changes. Now, one sidebar here, health changes can change everything. Medications, all that can, you know, make a big difference in your cost. But for the average person listening out there, we've done this a long time, and I don't know if there's been any time we've ever really seen those numbers come to fruition that, like, you know, you need to have this much income to have your same lifestyle in 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, it doesn't really happen. I mean, a lot of people are very legacy-minded. Yeah. They want to leave stuff behind. Less so with the baby boomers. Most of them, yeah, they want to, but it's not like their parents, where their parents grew up, you know, dirt poor, many of them children of the Depression, and it was ingrained in them to leave money to their kids. And they didn't have a lot of money because they had pensions, right? They had Social Security, so they didn't rely on their personal savings, but the boomers have to. So guess what? My dad's going to be 76 in August, just right around the corner. And, you know, he was one of the early baby boomers. And that group of people had to save, so they have a lot more money. So we've been hearing about the great wealth transfer since the late 90s, mm-hmm. and we're like, where is that happening? Well, it's starting to happen because the boomers are starting to pass away. And there is a lot of money in movement right now. And that's even more important to, as a person, as a boomer, to think, what can I do now with my retirement accounts to preserve it the best I can, not just from taxes destroying it, but how do I preserve it so my family can enjoy it and not have to worry about all the burdens that I left behind. Money can be a big burden, especially when it's laden with taxes and you have no idea. You know, your kids are probably, when they inherit it, they're going to be at their peak earning years, right? So whatever they're earning at the time and whatever tax rates are at the time, that's what they're going to pay on the on the distributions from the retirement accounts. Mm-hmm. So there are things you can do right now. And I did a podcast on am I too old to do a Roth conversion? And the answer is no. No, you're not too old. So those are the kind of things I think you have to keep in mind as well. But going back to the spending, you have choices,
sure,
right? And I know it costs so much to drive your car. I kind of think that $4 a gallon is sort of a tipping point, right? You know, $3.50, $3.20 a gallon, that's fine. That's not going to put a crimp in too many budgets. But you know, your heating bill, those things, that's going to track inflation whether you get old or not. But these other things, dude, we just don't see it. And I just don't want people to be so freaked out to think, oh my gosh, I have to do this or not do that so that I have protection of all this inflation. Property taxes, yeah, you need to worry about that. But other things, I wouldn't worry too much about it. You can choose to go to Burger King and get that egg and sausage versus a big old fashioned,
breakfast. And also, David, it goes back to what we've talked about so many times. There is a difference between income planning and income guessing. And the major difference is when you come in to review with your advisor every year, you need to look at your income plan and not just your performance, but your income plan. How's it going? What's changed? What's costing more? I hate to say it. We've talked about the government. We've talked about the county. We've talked about the state. Everyone needs to have a balanced budget. Budgeting isn't just something you teach young married couples to try to figure things out. We see people that need to have budgets for the rest of their life just to figure out exactly where their money's going. It makes a big difference.
Especially if you make a lot of money.
Right.
And you just don't worry about things. It's like you don't think about going out to dinner. You don't think about traveling. You just do it because you just don't think about it because you're going to get another paycheck next week or next month. And, you know, you just don't worry about it. But then all of a sudden when the paycheck stops, especially for their higher income earners, maybe you're making $250,000, $300,000 a year. Now it's like, okay, how much are we really spending? Now you have to start to think about it a little bit more. And that's somewhat of a scary thought. And that probably is why you see many people in those executive type positions working till they're 70, 75 years old, because it's like, man, I don't want to give up this paycheck. You know, we talk about why do you work beyond the paycheck? Well, if you're making $350,000 a year, you might be working for the paycheck, you know?
Right.
You might not like all the stuff you're doing, but you're like, dude, man, I really like the freedom that I have. And I don't have to budget. I don't have to worry about it. But for most people, and I would say it's those people more than the people that are making, you know, $5,000 a month or $6,000 a month, because you can cover half or more than that with Social Security, a small distribution from your accounts, you're happy. But those are like the Aruba vacations and, you know, the fancy stuff, which I like that stuff, you know?
Sure.
I mean, I enjoy that. But, you know, and what I worry about is something you've always said is what you do in moderation, your kids may do in excess. Well, I'm doing a little more in excess now, but I did things like that in moderation. But I'm afraid that my son, an only son, and you're in the same boat, witnesses this moderation is really cool, Wimbledon. And now they start becoming aware, right? When they're little, like under 10 or 12, they don't know what's going on. They don't know you're staying on the concierge level at Disney World. They don't know.
Yeah.
But at some point, they're like, they start looking around. And that's a little bit dangerous as well.
All right, let's take
another break. How to leave your grandkids your retirement savings and not a huge tax bill on top. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone, to Your Money with David Hayes. Doug Hughes is also in the house off of his Wimbledon trip. You didn't stay for the finals, though, right?
No. I was just there for one day at the beginning of the tournament, which is very nice in a tennis tournament because all the courts are being played, so you can walk around and watch so many different players play. The longer you go in a tennis tournament, the fewer matches, the fewer things you get to watch.
So Doug and I, you guys may not know this, but Doug and I actually went to the Western Southern Open in, 18, 19?
18.
18. And we had the chance to flip the coin in the semifinals, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
and tell us who we flipped, because I was out there with you as the backup. As the backup.
Which, by the way, who would have ever thought flipping a coin was such a serious matter? But they had, literally, you were the backup.
Yeah, because
if I did it wrong, then you had to come in.
Yeah, I had it in my pocket. So they literally said to Doug, I mean, serious can be, do you know how to flip a coin?
Yeah.
And Doug says, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you had to flip it and hit it in the circle. It was maybe, a 3-foot circle?
Mm-hmm.
So, you tell the story.
Well, and if you flip it, I think they said if you flip it too high or if it lands outside of the circle, then you can't flip.
Then
the backup has to flip.
Yeah. But there was no backup to the backup.
That's
but
right.
But anyway,
So we go down there, and we had no idea who it was going to be until the day before, and it was Roger Federer. So we got to stand right with him, our picture taken with him, and watch his match. It was amazing. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
You flipped it about 50,000 feet in the air.
I know.
And it came down and did one of those toilet bowl ringers around the edge. And it would do.
I was nervous because I thought I will never live it down.
There's a great picture of everyone looking down the circle. Roger is, and who was he playing? Another
Leonardo Meyer was the guy's name. Yeah,
and they were all looking at this coin. In anticipation. And what's neat about that was. It would be like you and I playing tennis together. We warm each other up a little bit.
Yeah.
We flip a coin on who's going to serve. So he flipped the coin, and literally, I think Roger won the coin toss. And so he got the call, and he goes, and he just said, I'll serve. And the other guy said, I'll take this side.
Yeah.
That's how they do it.
That's how they do it, yeah.
And they always pack their own stuff out.
That's right, yeah.
We were over there rummaging through. We sat right behind him.
Yeah, we were grabbing the plastic covers off of the mat rackets. Yeah.
What losers we
are. That was crazy.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about Grand Prix.
Yeah.
I don't even know how we got to that. But anyway.
I don't know. It was good.
Anyway. All right. So a lot more people are saying, you know what? I gave my kids a great education. They're doing really, really well. When I pass away, I want them to get something. But you know what? I think I'd like to leave stuff directly to my grandkids. Because going back to my earlier comment, when people inherit money, it's usually when they don't need it. But if you're a grandkid and you inherit it maybe in your 20s or 30s from your grandpa or grandma, then, you probably could use it for a house or maybe it's educating your kids or, maybe anything like that. Maybe you're going to pay off your mortgage, help you try to save more for retirement. Maybe you get to take some vacations. So money from grandma to take that annual vacation. Now, that's pretty cool because you could every time you do something fun on grandma's money, you just say, thank you, grandma. Thank you, Nana. It reminds them of you as a grandparent. I think it's a great idea. Now, there's good ways to do it, and there's bad ways to do it. Now, the good way to do it would be, again, leave them IRA money, Roth IRA money. And because of the way their age differential is, they may have an opportunity to do some really cool things with that. So you don't want to leave your grandkids with a huge tax bill on top of leaving them money. So you could leave them assets that get a stepped-up cost basis as well. So we talked so much about retirement accounts and Roth accounts and things like that, but let's say you had a piece of real estate and you wanted to leave it to your grandkids, and maybe you paid $100,000 for it, and when you die, it's worth $500,000. Well, they inherit that. Well, when they inherit that, and you can do a transfer on death designation right on the deed, and it goes directly to them. You don't even have to do it through your will. You can, but you can do it other ways also. It transfers directly to them. They sell it for $500,000, and they pay no tax. So if you leave an IRA that has never had the taxes paid, unlike a Roth, you're leaving your grandkids a retirement savings with a huge tax bill on top. Now, it's still money, and they're probably still going to be grateful, but anytime someone gives you $500,000 and you get to keep $500,000, that's much better than the lottery winner who had to give up not only 37% tax, or first he had to give up the discount on the lump sum because lump sum discount on top of that taxes, they walk away with far less money. This is a chance to actually win $1 billion or get $1 billion and keep $1 billion. So Doug, I know you're experiencing the same thing. A lot of grandparents are like, I love my grandkids.
Yeah.
Love being a grandparent.
And sometimes UTMAs, sometimes UGMAs, sometimes college education accounts, and those fill a little bit of time, maybe some conscience, but a little bit of time. This is long-term big planning. I mean, this is the kind of thing that if you're serious about Providence over long decades of time that you should be thinking about. And by the way, you don't have to do it all, right? I mean, there's ways you can carve just a percentage off.
There's certain dollars you leave to people and certain dollars you leave to charity. So the best plan would be life insurance goes to people because it's all tax-free. Roth IRAs and 401ks go to people because non-qualified assets to get stepped-up cost bases go to people. Mm-hmm. The money that should go to your charity, don't put it in your will because then the will's going to have all that at those things that are not direct transfer. They're all going to get stepped-up bases. Anything you leave to charity, put it on an IRA, tax-deferred, beneficiary form. It's the way to go. So if you have questions on how, what money I should give to who, charity or people, what assets, that's a really good question to have. Let's take a break, Doug. We'll come back and wrap up this circus of a show, It's Your Money with David Hayes. So spend time in Argentina. You were in London. And the thing that both of us do when we're other places, especially other countries, we really watch the people, mm-hmm. the places, the economy, their inflation, their politics. Most of my time in Buenos Aires and then into San Javier was at a hunting lodge. So the people there, they're pretty well informed, spoke pretty good English, loved their football, right? They love that. But the inflation. So if I had a dollar, I was able to get 260, you know, basically of their currency. But when I went to buy things, this is where I think people have a little disconnect. When I went to buy things, it really ended up costing about the same. Mm-hmm. You know, it might say $4,000 of their dollars. And by the time I pay it, I'm like, you know, that was about the same as it would be in the U.S. It's the same way when I was in England as well.
Yeah. You know, and let me give you one tidbit that I found interesting. I was riding a train in London, and I saw a billboard. And the billboard said, you'll love this, David, for as little as £50 a month, you can invest into a retirement account on a monthly basis. And so it was a promotion for dollar cost averaging, £50 a month, which is, you know, $50, $75. It just was a reminder to me that no matter where you're at in the world, dollar cost averaging still works, you know.
Well,
and inflation, as you're experiencing down there, it's still around. I mean,
they're fighting it pretty hard down there.
Yeah, these financial concepts, they really work throughout humanity in different economies.
They also eat very, very late. We would show up for dinner at 7 o'clock, 7:30. No one in the restaurant. They would say they were full. No one showed up. We would be out of there by 8:15, 8:30, 9 o'clock even one night, and barely people start trickling in. I'm like, wait a second, would people eat at 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night? Finally, I talked to them, like, yeah, we'd eat late. What time do you get up? 6, 7 o'clock. So, they drink a lot of Malbec down there.
Yeah,
too.
And this is why the cruise ships went to My Time Dining.
Right,
to get because they have the internationals and the people from Spain and different parts. They don't eat at 6 or 6:30. We're ready to go.
Lunch is the same way. We'd show up for lunch at 12. And 2 o'clock, people would start showing up at the pizza joint. All right, that's your guys' lesson for the day. All right, some big announcements next week on the show of who will be taking a position at Comprehensive Financial as our new marketing coordinator, event coordinator. Everyone's going to be super excited to hear the news. Next week on the show, I've been stiff-arming everyone, but next week will be the big reveal. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye-bye. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.